Hello, this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
Probably.
And we're back at Studio A this week.
Studio A, yes.
I like that, it's good.
Will we ever return to Studio One? That's the question.
That's it.
Yeah, probably. A couple of weeks. So how are you, Lewis?
I'm good. What have you been up to this week?
I finally got round to seeing The Dark Knight Rises.
Ooh!
The third in the new Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy.
Not that new, really, is it?
Well, clearly. Yes, and you'd seen it a couple of weeks before.
I saw it. I was a little underwhelmed.
You were a little underwhelmed.
A little underwhelmed.
I wouldn't say I was overwhelmed, but I thought it was really, really good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant.
Oh.
Just, you know, maybe my expectations hadn't been lowered because of your slightly...
My slander.
Your slander. You're slagging it off. The slagging it off you go. But I just thought it worked. I just thought the whole film worked as a whole. I felt it fitted in really well with the previous two. I was expecting to really miss Heath Ledger as the Joker or really feel that there was going to be an obvious role that he would have filled. Just didn't feel that way at all.
Yeah.
Didn't even think about it, really, until afterwards. Mm. I was like, oh, they didn't even mention the Joker.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I didn't actually miss the Joker very much at all. Yeah. I think Bane was pretty good. A lot of people criticised, you know, they couldn't hear what he was saying. But it was fine in the cinema I went to.
No, yeah, me too. Yeah.
Which cinema did you go to?
I went to the Illustrious View in Finsbury Park.
Ooh.
Premier. I saw it on, it was quite funny, they have two screens there, they have the standard screen and the extreme screen. Sorry, the extreme screen.
I'm just trying to imagine what the extreme screen's like.
We did it.
Did the seats move or something?
We were on skateboards all the way through. And
random explosions go off.
Yeah. Apparently the screen is supposed to be 2.5 times bigger than a standard screen. But right. You know, all screens are different sizes. I didn't really get that. It's just a big screen. Anyway, but it was good. It was a nice big screen. The cinema's fine. But yeah, I really was impressed.
Oh, okay. I still think there's too much stuff during the day. Batman doesn't look good in the day. He looks like he's on the way to a fancy dress contest.
I suppose so. I mean, yeah, that didn't really bother me, though. It's a man who dresses up as a bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you can't suspend your disbelief about it, it has to be dark to suspend your disbelief about that.
I'm not sure about the new costume either. Because you said you weren't sure if it was a new costume. It definitely is a new costume. I checked this after you poo-pooed me in the podcast.
I'm sure I read somewhere that it's exactly the same as the previous one.
No, it is new. It is new. I thought I was right.
Why is it new?
He's got little more ripples.
Well, I didn't really notice, to be honest. I wasn't really paying much attention to the costume.
Well, we're going to have to discuss the ending as well, because we can't discuss it now because it's spoiler heavy, but
me and you,
we're going to have a talk afterwards.
All right. Yeah, well, when we turn off the mic and really discuss things.
Yeah, we hate each other, so we're just trying to look like we're getting on the podcast.
Well, I don't think we even achieved that. So, we're, again, our obligatory Batman reference got that in. And you've been mostly playing Batman Arkham Asylum.
Arkham City.
Arkham City,
very good. So, it's the film that Dark Knight Rises could have been.
I thought there were a lot of parallels, actually, between. So, again, we won't get too heavily into that. We'll save that for a post-podcast discussion. But, anyway, so, new feature, Lewis.
Yeah, new feature.
New section, new brand new thing.
Okay.
Those who listen to us know that in many ways we're quite shy retiring types. And the last thing we want to do is publicise our podcast. Isn't that right, Lewis? We don't like to boast. We don't like to talk about ourselves. I mean, it's weird that we do a podcast. We don't even like the sound of our voices particularly. But we feel there's a higher calling, that we are drawn to talk about 101 films that sometimes we've seen, sometimes we haven't seen. And to get those messages...
It's so noble when you say it like that. It's so noble.
To get those messages out there, those really important discussions that we have, we have to, you know, descend into the pit of publicity. Whore ourselves out. And for that reason,
steady on, we're going to have steady on.
A surprise sponsor. Yes, that's right. A surprise sponsor.
Ooh.
Lewis, how does this work?
Right. I'm glad you explained to me just before we came on air. So basically, we're going to have a look at people who follow us on Twitter. Do you remember Twitter?
Yeah, I remember Twitter.
Do you remember that fad?
Yeah.
Still
yeah,
going.
Still going.
So we're going to have a look at our Twitter list and randomly pick someone to feature every week on the podcast. Well, I say every week. If it doesn't go well, we might not be back next week.
Might not drop it, yeah. Yeah, so I think it's interesting because it's a nice little community out there of people. Obviously, you've got their own stuff they want to put out there. We've got our stuff to put out there. It's a win-win situation. You scratch up my back, I'll scratch yours. So
sounds so seedy when you say it like that. So well, we just thought we'd give props someone,
yeah,
on
a big shout-out.
A big shout-out to someone, yeah, of our Twitter followers.
Yeah, and people are like, so they don't have to follow us on Twitter. Maybe, I don't know, again, if someone gives us a flyer for something they do. I love flyers.
Yeah.
We'll let people know about it.
Okay, next time we're at a film screening, you recognise us from the magazines and TV.
Yes, we're constantly being papped. So our first sponsor, Lewis.
Our first sponsor is Stuart Barr.
Stuart Barr, yes. He follows us.
Follows us. I think that's
the
word. He followizes us.
Followizes us under the Twitter name of Max Wren. That's Max Wren with two N's. And he has his own blog on a movie review blog on www.chrisandphilpresent.co.uk. Click on the blog tab and it's Stuart's blog.
That's right, it's very good. And he's completely done a scathing review of Dark Knight Rises, so yeah, please go and look at that. And
well, I'm going to read it, Lewis. I'll see if he's got any points that may change my mind, but I don't think they will. So,
but yeah, please go and check it out, it's a really good blog.
And you, congratulations, Stuart, you're the first surprise sponsor. So, but anyway, enough of that. Film of the week.
So this week it's His Girl Friday,
yeah,
which is my recommendation for you.
Another old film. So your friend Sam said, you always do old films.
Well, that's not true.
No, that's not true. We've done Inception, that's relatively modern.
That's new, that's
bang Submarine, that's only a couple of years old.
Yeah, what are you talking about, Sam? Anyway, so His Girl Friday, 1940 film, starring Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell. And directed by Howard Hawks.
Yeah, it's a screwball comedy.
It is a screwball comedy. I love that. I love screwball comedies.
Screwball comedies. It,
there should be more screwball comedies.
Yeah, it's a genre
that don't feature Chris Rock.
Yeah, it's a genre that's not quite died, but certainly isn't.
It's
nowhere near.
It's a shadow of. I think basically it's the post Nutty Professor watershed. It's just really just gone downhill.
I don't even know what that means. The post-Nutty Professor watershed.
Well, you can chart the rise of the screwball comedy. Planes, Trains and Automobiles, you know, all these classic 80s Trading Places.
Yeah,
and
the 80s saw a bit of resurgence of the screwball comedy, didn't it? It's
and
the
then
90s
it
it's
just
really
went straight into Eddie Murphy and just died. Well, actually, no, he was in Trading Places, so we can't.
Yeah, exactly.
We can't criticise Eddie Murphy.
You leave Eddie Murphy out.
All right, okay, well, Nutty Professor, that's the watershed moment.
Yeah, fair enough.
After that, we've got Big Mama's House, and then it's just really...
This is the second time we've mentioned the Nutty Professor. We also mentioned it in Kind Hearts and Coronets.
Oh.
It's weird how certain films just keep cropping
stuck
up
in our consciousness.
I'll just say it. Zardoz. We just haven't said it in a while.
Zardoz, yeah.
Zardoz.
We're going to do our DVD commentary of that.
Yeah, we are. We're going to do a DVD commentary on that.
We may have to be very drunk.
So anyone who has to listen to it as well. But yeah, His Girl Friday. Great film.
Really good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. As you said, it was your recommendation, Lewis. My first time watching it. Really, really enjoyed it.
Okay, so the pitch of the film is it's like Some Like It Hot, but actually starring Cary Grant instead of someone doing an impersonation. And there's actually a woman in it, not someone dressed up as a woman.
That we know of.
And it's not in a newspaper. It's a new newspaper office and not... Basically, it's nothing like Some Like It Hot, but it is in black and white.
It is in black and white, and it is funny.
That's true.
Both classic comedies.
Very funny film, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's a great film. And that's essentially, yeah, the plot is Cary Grant, newspaper editor, his ex-wife, Heidi?
Hildy.
Oh, damn it. Hildy, she comes back to tell him she's getting remarried, but she gets drawn in. drawn in by his manipulations and machinations to not let her go. And it's just a real, well, two things, obviously, as we said, really funny, but also a great depiction of that news industry, newspaper, you know, that newsroom feel.
It's fantastic.
That rat-a-tat-tat of the typewriters, and lots of people moving around with bits of paper, and those...
Copy boy!
Yeah, exactly. And lots of tearing effects. Get that down to the office, yeah.
Yeah.
And the guys, what are those things? The visors. Yeah. Visors. Just people wearing those and wear waistcoats. Brilliant. It's great.
It is great. It made me nostalgic for that era. I think I was born in the wrong time. I needed to be in a newspaper room.
You wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes. I'd have eaten you alive, Lewis. Well, I think, this is one of Lewis's recommendations. It was the first time I'd ever seen it. And I just really enjoyed it. And I wasn't quite sure what to expect. From what Lewis had said, you know, when we'd done one of our previous podcasts, The Daily Earth Caught Fire, and that's all about two journalists, and you said a lot of similarities between this and His Girl Friday. But The Daily Earth Caught Fire has got some fast old dialogue, but even this surpasses that. It's so rapid.
Super fast, isn't it? Yeah. You can't stop listening for a second, this film. You have to pay attention, just completely rapt attention the whole way through, otherwise you'll miss something.
But that attention is easy to give, because... It's a fantastic performance by Cary Grant. It's just so charming in it. Rosalind Russell is just delightful. She's just, you know...
She gives as good as she gets.
She does, yeah. She's, yeah, like, very attractive in that kind of, like, just smart, sexy, clever way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's just a great film.
It's very good. And she has enormous shoulder pads as well, which I think they should bring that...
I was genuinely worried about what you were going to say.
What did you think I was going to say?
Wonderful eyes.
Lovely personalities. That's, fantastic. Oh, God, line in suits.
Yeah. But yes, yeah. I mean, well, it's 1940, so it's got that late 30s. Mm. Yeah, Cary Grant's sporting a fantastic double-breasted suit. It's a good look.
It is a good
look. When is the double-breasted suit going to come back?
I know. The size of those lapels, you could glide in those. It's amazing.
Well, I, for one, welcome its return. So I'm looking forward to the return of the double lapel suit.
I'm going to go and buy my zoot suit straight away. Anyway, before we get too into the film, should we do our trivia quiz?
Of course.
Trivial quiz, trivial quiz, trivial, trivial, trivial quiz. The one quiz to rule them all.
Okay, question one. His Girl Friday was directed by Howard Hawks, but it was based on a film called The Front Page, which was produced by Howard Hughes. Hughes was famous for developing the world's biggest flying boat. What was the nickname of that flying boat?
Oh my God.
You'll definitely have heard it somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to take a completely random guess. For some reason... Midnight Blue is coming.
Midnight Blue.
I know.
I think that must have been a porn film you watched recently. No, it was The Spruce Goose.
Oh, The Spruce Goose. Yeah, okay. Well, all right. Interesting.
It was referenced in The Simpsons, actually, as The Spruce Moose.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Okay, Cary Grant starred in 4 Alfred Hitchcock films. Okay. Name 2 of them.
North by Northwest and Suspicion.
Yes, very well done. You could also have To Catch a Thief or Notorious.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And last question. Where was Cary Grant born?
Oh, he was born in Bristol.
Yes.
United Kingdom.
Well done. Very good. Yeah, that's right. Bristol boy.
Yeah. Archie
you can
Leach.
Tell it in his accent. I can't.
Old Archibald Leach.
Archibald Leach, yeah.
His original name. What a name, Leach.
Nobody talks like that.
It's funny, isn't it? Because Cary Grant is such an American name, yeah. And Archibald Leach is such a painfully English name.
It sounds like a character in The Beano or something.
It does. Right, okay, my questions. What is a Girl Friday, Lewis?
Oh, right, that's like a office dog's body, isn't it? Like named after Man Friday from Robinson Crusoe.
That's right, yes. It's just a kind of general office dog's body. To be honest... I just never even crossed my mind what it was. Suddenly was like, oh, okay, yeah, Girl Friday. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, what real-life, life-changing event happened to Rosalind Russell during the filming of this film? Oh, I used life twice.
The filming of this film.
Twice in that one sentence.
I don't know. I have no idea.
No idea?
Did she have a baby?
Okay, sort of on the right track. She actually met a husband.
Oh.
He was the supposed flatmate or apartment mate of Cary Grant. And he was the best man at the wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that a nice little story?
Good old Archie.
And talking of Cary Grant and marriage, how many times was Cary Grant married?
Is this a trick question? Is it like once? Never. Never. He was a bachelor till he died.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
He was not a bachelor. He was actually married 5 times.
5?
Yeah. Although it's interesting you say bachelor, because there were rumours that in some ways he was a confirmed bachelor.
Oh, I see.
There were some...
You can't see this listening, but he's giving me the wink.
That's completely unrelated to what I'm saying. But yes, 5 times.
Wow.
Yeah, well, it was Hollywood, wasn't it? Now, what we should say, Lewis, because we didn't do this last week, I noticed when I was listening to our previous podcast, that's what I do, I just listen to our podcast.
Lewis,
we didn't say who won the quiz. I won last week, and I believe this week I've won as well.
I wonder why you're so interested in...
Let the record show!
Right, yeah, you won again. You must be catching up now, because I was in the lead last time we checked.
I've got to tote them up. I haven't
get on
that.
The spreadsheet.
Yeah, get on the spreadsheet. Fire up the spreadsheet. That's the spreadsheet sound.
Brilliant. It's like a one-man show today. It's so bloody hot in this room.
It's really warm.
It's getting to you.
It's really warm. Well, this is fantastic banter and dialogue. It brings us on to the rapid dialogue of the film.
Oh, God. We've been going for ages. Right. Yes, the rapid dialogue of the film. It's amazing, like, the actual dialogue, they kind of actually overlap themselves, which is something you don't often hear in movies.
I read... on Wikipedia, so it must be true, that this was the first film really to do that.
Yeah. I think I've heard that before. It's like most old films, they're so painfully slow, aren't they? Someone speaks and then you wait for them to finish and then someone else speaks. But the pace is just electric in this film.
I guess 1940, talkies have only been around about 10 years.
Yeah.
It takes time to develop those techniques. Yeah, just the... It's so hard for us to kind of put ourselves back in the shoes of that, where you've got suddenly this brand new medium where you're like, oh, okay, we can talk now. But of course, those really first talkies, everyone's talking really slowly because they're so unused to it.
Yeah, and also the equipment really wasn't that up to much. And you had to really speak very clearly and otherwise it just wouldn't pick you up.
Yeah.
So, and even on this film, I was reading that apparently they didn't have multi-track editing. So they couldn't have a microphone for everyone speaking, so they just had to turn the microphones on and off.
Wow. But it works. It works because it is very naturalistic.
Mm.
Well, maybe that's the wrong word. Not naturalistic.
It captures the feel of that fast-paced newsroom. You know,
People
don't have time to wait until you finish speaking your sentence. Yeah, they've got to carry on with their sentence. So
it feels more real because... In real life, as you well know, Lewis, people talk over each other.
I'm looking... I don't know who you mean, but anyway, I think you might be in this room.
But, it does straight away bring... It feels much more modern and current.
Yeah.
Even though it's now 70 years old?
Yeah, something
like
that.
That's mad, isn't it? 70 years old.
Over 70 years old.
Yeah, 72 years old. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't feel like that at all.
It doesn't. It feels very fresh. And, of course, the other thing is actually it's really quite funny.
I
laugh out loud quite a few times in the film.
Yeah, I mean, when you catch the jokes, because they're coming thick and fast.
It's like you can't laugh because you're going to laugh over the sound of the next joke. You know?
It's got a really... it is genuinely funny, but it's got a dark humour.
Oh, yeah. Some bits. I mean, there's an attempted suicide in it, and murder, and executions.
Well,
but despite all that,
A gag comes after the attempted suicide almost straight away.
Yeah. Isn't it? It just says, she's dead. Oh, no, she's moving.
They'll rush down there to get the interview. It doesn't show newspaper journalism in the best light.
No, vicious. No. Absolutely vicious.
But it was based on a play... the film, it was a film, but what's the play called?
The Front Page.
The Front Page, that's right. And I kind of, that makes sense to me, because obviously a play as we were saying, you know, talkies have only been around 10 years. It has a maturity to it. Yeah, and I feel that can only come from being something that's been tested on the stage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it you straight away feel that, and you can so imagine it on the stage as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's only set in 3 rooms.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah.
There's just 3 sets for the whole film.
It's, yeah.
But you don't notice it because it's so fast paced that you don't actually notice that you've not left the room.
No, and the characters are moving all the time.
Yeah.
It's not like they're just sat at a desk just talking. They're like constantly moving around the room,
answering phones.
Yeah, constantly phones going, like phones being moved around. It feels dynamic all the time. But as you say, yeah, it's the newspaper room, the restaurant. I think the restaurant scene was added. Actually, I read that was not in the original.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, that took 4 days to film.
Blimey!
Because it was so many people moving around, because people are eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, they must have got tired of eating their steak sandwiches. we've mentioned Cary Grant and Rosalind Russell. The other kind of major character, in many ways one of the major characters, is Russell Bellamy, the kind of... The
straight man, basically.
The straight man, yes. Yeah.
He's the jilted, well, the fiancé who is quickly sidelined by Cary Grant's editor character.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a thankless role, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he brings something to it.
He's really good. I mean, he plays a straight man so well. You feel kind of sorry for him, but also pity him.
Yeah.
And kind of, that's the same thing. Yeah. You feel sorry and pity him at the same time.
Well, I think...
But also you kind of admire him, you know. He's,
you realise that he's a lovely guy, seems to be, but he's never going to keep hold of a woman like Hildy. She's
like oil. Slips through his fingers.
What? She's like oil.
Like sexy oil.
Slips through his fingers. When are you running oil through your fingers?
It's like newspaper journalism oil.
That's it, yeah. Wow. You really would. You are. The journalism did lose out. Really with you, didn't it?
I can keep these coming all day.
But the Cary Grant, though, he's just so charming, isn't
he?
Yeah,
he's great, isn't
he? He's an absolute bastard, really, in this.
That's the thing. I mean, the character's eminently unlikable. He's, he's arrogant and manipulative, but he just kind of somehow seems so bloody charming.
Yes, he is. And, even though for Hildy, it's, I suppose you'd be perhaps a little bit bored moving up there. Is it Albany? They keep talking about Albany, where they're going to get a house, where her and Russell Bellamy, what's his name? Bruce. Where
Bruce
Hildy
Baldwin.
And Bruce are going to have their married life together. Yeah, even though you're like, it would be all right. You know, you might get occasionally bored, but yeah, come on, with Cary Grant as he is, how could you give that up? I had stayed. I'd have married him.
Well, enough said about that.
But actually, one of the kind of most powerful, one of the best scenes, the most powerful scenes, is actually not funny at all. And you're kind of on the side of these newspaper people, aren't you?
Yeah.
And then you're forced to confront actually how, in some way, some of them are morally relevant. You have there's a guy, the kind of, it's based around a killer who is a trial of this killer. That's the new story that gets Hildy back into things. And the killer's, well, they call her the girlfriend, but she's not a girlfriend, she's just a woman who just kind of talked to him once.
Yeah.
And the newspapers just depicted her as, like, made all this crazy nonsense up about her, saying she loves him and she's going to marry him at the gallows and makes all these innuendo about her. And even though it's not explicit, you get the feeling it's just kind of ruined her life.
Yeah.
And they have no kind of shame about it at all.
Yeah,
she's sort of crying to them and begging them, you know, why did you make that? And they're just like, shut up, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a horrible kind of scene, really.
Yeah, it's really uncomfortable, isn't it?
And then she leaves and then they're all kind of sat in silence and I think they know just how awful they've been, and it's quite an interesting kind of emotional scene. It's quite different from the rest of the film.
Well, I think you almost need a because at that point in the film, I suppose you're thinking, why is Hildy going to leave this? Why on earth is she going to leave all this? It looks great fun. And why is she going to go to all that? And then you go, oh, that's why.
Yeah, yeah.
Suddenly you go, oh, right, yeah, she should probably go because that's horrible.
Mm.
And it's sort of raises the stakes, I suppose, a little bit, and makes you think, oh, maybe she will go, because up until then you're like, well, of course she's going
to
stay.
Exactly. Yeah. And all the newspaper men are quite happy to stab each other in the back for the sake of a scoop as well.
Yeah.
You know, they almost come to blows towards the end when they think Hildy's scooped them, you know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, cutthroat world.
Cutthroat world indeed. And you guys show things haven't changed
that much. Technology's moved on.
But the desperate need to get a story to sell newspapers hasn't.
Yeah.
There's that where he's Cary Grant's on the phone. He's talking about like moving the stories, and he's just all the stories he references about they're going to drop, like the war in Europe. Get rid of it.
Yeah. Hitler, put him on the funny pages.
And then it was like, was it the rooster story? Like, no, keep that. That's human interest. Well, you know, we said it could be remade. Didn't they make talk about? Well, it was sort of remade in the 80s.
Yeah, they made a film called Switching Channels. I only read about this just earlier today, so don't ask me what it's like. But apparently, they kind of made a film set in a cable TV office that's loosely based on the film, and it stars Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds! And Kathleen Turner. With Christopher Reeve as the straight guy, the Bruce Baldwin character.
Yeah, that works.
That works.
I can so see Christopher Reeve as that. Definitely.
Yeah, I can totally imagine. I'm not sure about Burt Reynolds as Cary Grant. There's no comparison, really.
No,
is it?
He doesn't have that kind of. I mean, he's a good actor, but but he doesn't quite have the natural charm.
No, let's put it that way. That's a nice way to put it.
Charming in his own right.
Good.
But doesn't, not quite.
Not quite
not,
there.
Not Cary Grant.
No. Nice moustache, though. So, yeah, Switching Channels. I've not seen it. Probably will see it.
I don't think we'll fully do it for the
don't
blog.
Don't think we're going to do it for the blog.
Certainly not.
No.
So, are there any kind of comedic scenes that really stand out for you?
I quite like the restaurant scene where they were talking about Albany and just how awful it was up there. Cary Grant kept kind of mugging to the camera almost.
What's great about it, because it's Cary Grant, we should use their character names. Walter Burns, isn't it?
Walter Burns,
you've got Heidi there and you've got
Hildy.
Bruce. Hildy, sorry. You've got Hildy there and you've got Bruce. And it's just brilliant. Just Walter just completely undermining Bruce. And Bruce being totally charmed by him at the same time.
Yeah. It's amazingly done. So well done. And Hildy keeps kicking him under the table when he's he thinks she's overstepping the mark.
Exactly, yeah. And she's kind of just watching this, knowing full well what he's trying to do.
Yeah. I love the bit as well when she says, how much money have you got on you? I've got 500. It's all we've got. He's like, give it all to me. But what? He's like, just give it all to me. He's like, I can't trust you with it. You know he's gonna con you out.
Yeah,
of the
he's
money.
Like hiding the check in his hat. Yeah. Exactly. Like, yes, it's an old newspaper tradition. Put it in your hat. Yeah. Well, I don't think I have to really ask the question. Obviously, we both recommend it.
Definitely,
we?
Yeah. Watch this film. It's very, very good.
Yeah, it really is good.
Okay, so if you want to recommend a film for us to watch, please write to us at 101filmsyoushouldhaveseen@gmail.com.
And of course, you can follow us on Twitter on 101films. And you can join our Facebook group. Again, it's just 101films.
So, we'll see you in 2 weeks, I think, because we're away next week, aren't we?
Well, we might.
We might try and squeeze.
We might try and squeeze.
Put it this way, no promises.
No promises. Again, yeah, like after next week, though, we should have a good run, shouldn't we? And there shouldn't be many interruptions. It's the summer, guys.
It's the summer.
Come on.
We're doing things.
Come on.
We're going away.
Let's have our summer.
God,
come on.
You slave drivers.
Do you know who's the real slave driver? Our bloody sponsor.
Yeah.
Stuart Ball! See you next week. Oh, see you in some weeks. See you in some weeks.
Bye.
Bye.
Can't you see I love you, Hildy? I can't do the accent. It's terrible.
You're not bad. You're not far off. You're not far off that.